Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Ben Hurst.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Hello, guys. You're like looking at us like,
I'm like, I didn't know that bit was live. I thought that you did that before and then.
Oh, yeah. No. We do that with the.
Oh, like, dope.
For realsies.
Yeah, for reals.
The one with Ben Hurst.
I like that. Whoa.
Sounds sexy.
You know, I'm out here. I've been doing this for a long time.
Nice. So please tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself.
Curious fuckers. My name is Ben Hurst. I'm an advocate, an activist. Oh, that's such a lame way of I hate introductions so much. Sorry.
They are crap, but I hate them. You have to do it. It's part of the parcel.
Right. So I'm the head of facilitation and training at an organization called the Good Lad Initiative.
Yeah.
Which is an organization that works with men and boys doing gender equality work in schools and universities and corporate spaces. And then I do a lot of like consultancy and freelance diversity and inclusion stuff. I do some podcasting. I do some modeling more recently, obviously. I'm a gorgeous man. So I did I did Speedo last year. I did Kickers.
No way.
I got some more Speedo stuff coming up, which will be cool.
I had a little flick on Instagram. You haven't actually put any of those up on Instagram.
No, I posted stuff on my story. Yeah. My PP.
All genders welcome to hit them up on Instagram.
Yeah, hit me. Like, holler at me.
See those fucking Speedos.
I'm out here. You can see.
Send them.
We're not hiding.
Send them as
you.
Nudes.
Go on a.
They're practically nudes.
They are.
They're like.
They are. But.
They don't cover much.
To be fair, nudes are. My nudes are much better.
Oh, what do you mean? As in,
yeah, my nudes are fire, man.
Compared to your Instagram,
yeah,
or compared
yeah,
to, like, what
compared
you
to anything, anything that anybody has seen of me with clothes on is not as good as my nudes.
Oh, okay, so yeah. You're like,
my nudes are like, oh.
Wow, I think your head just filled the room.
Like, no, fuck. I'm not even. I'm listen.
I'm finding this really hard not to comment.
I'm dying right now.
No, my nudes are good. they're like, oh, I feel like I curate, like I have a gallery in my phone. That nobody else can access of like just nudes of myself.
Okay, so as a male,
yeah.
How would you take a successful nude?
All right, so that's a good question. Mm-hmm. We need to speak about this.
Yeah.
First of all, don't put your dick in it straight away.
Yes.
That is the major key. I think that you have to get comfortable. For me, the nudes thing was about like getting comfortable with my body. And it was before I'd started doing like, I'm really happy actually, it was before I'd started doing any modeling, especially the Speedo stuff.
Yeah.
Because like I just was taking a picture every day, editing it, like not changing the actual picture, but just putting some filters
face
on it,
you.
Doing like contrast up, exposure down, whatever. And then you just learn like what your body looks like.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad, but it's always you, which is nice.
So
it's nice to get used to. And then once you're happy with that, like you can show it to other people and you're like, yeah, this is me. Like,
that's such a good idea.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like it's
a movement.
Everyone should do nudes.
Yeah.
I think that
one
so
nude
important.
A day.
Yeah, yeah, one nude a day. You don't have to send it to anyone, but just do it and like look at yourself. And
this
and
is the 30-day nude challenge.
Is that, is that already a thing?
We just came up with this.
Wow. Look at this. Content
trademark.
Creators. Look
okay.
At us.
Patented.
Hashtag.
Look at us.
Yeah. Hashtag 30 day nude challenge.
What would be like the best nude month?
April?
Something it's got to be summer. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tan.
So,
you think?
Yeah, yeah. So that you're not cold. Like,
but you're,
but
although,
not, not
you're
real summer. Not real summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You're already
spring.
Feeling good around summer. That's why I thought like maybe February is like a self-love program. By the end of February, you're like feeling
hip. Maybe May?
May's a good
May would be nice because it's getting warmer, but you don't have tan lines.
Yes.
Tan lines kill the vibe a little
That's
bit.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I know so many people like have a fetish for a tan line.
Really?
Yeah, fully. Yeah.
Weirdos. No, I'm joking. We don't do that here. That's the thing that we don't do, right?
Yeah,
no
shame.
Okay,
let's circle back to the work that you do, though, because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Just the fact that you go around schools teaching young kids about toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, just so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's like the golden, you get the gold star.
You get a star.
I was going to say golden ticket, but I didn't mean
you
that.
You hate
golden
though.
Ticket. No, I do hate it. I do hate it.
What?
Like, I love my job, but I hate the golden star.
Oh,
like,
I hate
that. Like, I feel like a lot of people look at me and think I'm someone that I'm not, or like look at me as a person who's like super woke or super this or super that, or like really nice, and actually I'm just me. So
inevitably
I'm gonna fuck up and like do dumb shit or whatever, but I try. And the work is really fun, mainly because it feels like you're speaking to a younger version of yourself.
Yesterday
I was in a school in Peckham, and it was like the school was like probably 90% kids of color. And it was so nice. Like, I was managing the day, so I was in and out of other people's workshops and like chipping in and doing stuff, and it was just, it was dope, man. Like, they were really enjoying it, and they were being really honest. And then when I went into one session, and one of them was like, this is a little bit boring, and I was like, what do you want to talk about? It's your session, you can talk about what you want.
Oh, nice.
And then they just started asking loads of sex questions.
That's so good. You must have like turned the whole thing on their head, this isn't actually a teacher or like a authority that I need to be scared of.
This is just a weird guy in trainers telling us about sex. But this is the dream. This is what I want to do. So
amazing.
It's cool. And it's really nice as well to work with older men.
I can imagine. Like, what's the difference between young men and older men, or is there hardly any difference when it comes to sex questions?
Oh, when it comes to sex questions, older men pretend that they know a lot more. Mm-hmm. Younger guys pretend that they know, but it's just blatantly obvious that they don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very clear that they don't know what they're talking about. And they say things, and then you're like, what is that? And they're like, and they get nervous. I'm like, guys, it's going to get harder than this. You're going to have to buckle up, we're gonna get serious here. But older guys are like, they're generally super chill, but they also behave like children. I feel like in that kind of space where you're like facilitating a workshop, like, people get to regress and they get to like go back to almost the purest version of themselves. So they just fuck about and like have fun, say dumb shit, ask stupid questions, but it's fun. It's nice. I think
asking
it's nice as a guy.
Sex is always fun.
That's like, who doesn't like that?
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
I was thinking about this on the way over. There's like a really gendered aspect to talking about sex. Like, I feel like guys don't ever talk about how sex is. They just talk about what they do.
Very true.
And I don't want to fall into that trap of like just being like, and then I fucked her in the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's super lame. But the last time I had sex was good. It was good. And I think what I'm realizing is that I'm more freaky than I have allowed myself to be.
Oh, freaky.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I just am like, freaky. I don't know. I think the thing for me with sex is like, it's about the other person's pleasure more often than not. Like, that's what turns me on.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I can see that someone else is enjoying themselves, then I'll enjoy it.
And if I can't,
then it's a little bit like, what's the point of us being here? And it's a lot more about intimacy for me as well. So I'm not like a massive one night stand person.
Like, that's quite like, it's not really what you'd expect from a guy.
No.
Yeah, well, it's a poisonous stereotype thinking that men only want to fuck once and then leave.
Yeah.
I think that's this whole like fuck boy attitude of, we're so scared of men like wanting to fuck us and then leaving us in the dirt.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. Like, we're all just humans and we all want intimacy and connection.
What are we getting from it, though?
The snuggles.
Like, if it's just a one night stand, like, what are you actually getting from that? Like, just one?
Yeah, like one spaff?
It's like a conquest thing.
Is it,
do you know what
really
I mean? It's
great?
Like, I feel like it's just ticking things off. Like, it's just doing it to say that you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've fucked this many women.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have like the best sex and only ever have sex with like maybe one person in your life.
Maybe one person.
I was going to say two, but then I thought, I better go for lower.
The first one is a practice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. I take that back.
Why?
No, it's not a practice. It's not
You're talking
a practice.
About like the first time is in virginity or
the first time with
someone?
I feel like you're learning what sex is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the first person I had sex with was a lot of like figuring out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
And like how it works, what feels nice, what doesn't feel
You're
nice.
You're just going into the next section. We've Sorry. Not finished with the last
okay,
one yet.
We'll carry on. So my last fuck, yeah, there, it was dope. It was dope. Well,
he's just
that is one of my issues,
this,
actually. That is, no, do you know what? I'm not a minute man. That's an over exaggeration, but I'm not like, man. I'm like maybe 30 pumps and I'm good.
You're good. Well, yeah. You're supposed to have that. Like, I don't know this because I'm not a man, but I've heard that most men get, yeah, it's like a 2-minute window. Then they're desperate to come and you have to train yourself to hold back. And then Ooh. You hold it and then you can hold it for even longer. And then you get the second wind.
When
that's when you're supposed to aim for the orgasm. Because it's not the same for us women. Like, we don't get that. As it's just like, it's not here, it's not here, it's not here, it's not here. Oh, it was going to be there. No, it's not it's there gone. Anymore. It's oh, gone, it's fuck. Gone. Oh,
that must be so bad. So that must be so horrible.
It's so long.
It's so annoying.
But that's only like what fucks us up in our heads. And it's probably the same for you if you do come too quick, sorry to say those words, but that you're probably inside your head too much or enjoying the pleasure too much. Like the person in front of you is just like bare sexy and just I just need to come.
You're like, I just also want to have sex with them. Like I don't always come, which I think is another like thing that guys don't really talk about that much.
Definitely. Yeah. People don't talk about that a lot. Like not coming is just the same as premature ejaculation. It's exactly the same. It's the same mental process. Like my partner suffered with that for a long time, many years, but he's kind of like managed to regain that. And I don't know what it is. It is like a mental orgasm blockage. Maybe you're too stressed in other parts of your life.
But sometimes I'm just not feeling it. Like sometimes I'm enjoying the sex. The sex is good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I feel like I'm done.
Yeah.
And like I'm cool, like it's, and I'm still like I'm still there, but I'm chilled.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of interesting. I guess you don't really ever think of that with guys.
Yeah.
And like ending sex, because you always think of the end of sex being the guy
it's the
coming.
Male orgasm, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what's hard is like women don't react well to that. Like they don't like it. Yeah, they're like, something's wrong. Like I've done something wrong.
Like
something's
wrong with you.
And that's so internal, but that's also comes from a place of like, you know, like poor sex education. Because the fact that we haven't been taught that men might come too quickly, or they might not come at all, or they might not even get hard. You know, like we've got, I've done it before where I've got upset with somebody for not getting hard. And then that obviously makes things worse. Because you end up just being like, oh, why have you not got hard? Is it is it me? Yeah. You put it on yourself, which is the worst thing you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sex being penetration with a penis is like a weird idea for me. Like I really like foreplay. I prefer foreplay.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Last time I had sex, I just had a lot of foreplay.
Nice.
Because I feel like it's better. Not better, that's an over-exaggeration, but I feel like...
You can get a lot more from foreplay. Yeah, like, there's a lot more that you can experiment with. Yeah.
I think it's a preference. Like, at the moment, I'm all about the penetration.
Are you?
And
Are
I've
you?
Completely... Not gone off girls, that's the wrong thing to say, but, like, my preference at the moment is men, because all I can think about is penis in vagina.
Yeah.
That's all I watch in porn, and that's all I masturbate over.
Yeah.
But it hasn't always been like that. It depends on, like, where we are in our lives and who we're fucking and like, what we associate with pleasure as well. Because that's my association at the moment is, like, that G-spot orgasm, penis in vagina, rough and ready.
At the moment, for me, kissing and oral sex is like number one.
Yeah, that's like your preference with sex. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I would. I think oral sex is A1 for me.
Yeah,
like I feel like that's the most enjoyable bit. Kissing, I don't really count as sex.
Interesting.
Like in my mind,
well, kissing isn't sex.
It's just the precursor.
Say.
Yeah,
just the moist maker.
It's just the bit that turns you on at the beginning.
With me.
Yeah. No, but it's good. And I think for me, sex is about intimacy massively.
Mm.
So like anything that makes you feel close is nice.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I feel like when I'm inside, like I feel a little bit removed. Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
But like I get a little bit heady, and then I'm like. Like, am I doing it right? Like there's a lot more to think about rather than I don't know for other guys, but I don't feel like I have that much not control of my penis, but it doesn't feel like I can't do the same stuff with my penis that I can do with my tongue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can do a lot more with my hands or with my mouth, and there's a lot more control, and I feel like I can manipulate someone's body a little bit more rather than just dicking them down.
Yeah, wow, that's blown my mind.
It's blown my mind.
Oh my God. It is about control. And it's hard to control your genitals and way easier to control your mouth and hands.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they just have a fucking life of their own.
Yeah.
So true.
Just do their own thing. I love it.
Fuck two.
The first fuck.
Oh, this is actually a good story. I was in Bible college. I got kicked out of Bible college for,
what?
For having sex. Yeah.
No way. So, who would have never heard that?
I know, right?
No, Bible college. And you got kicked out. I mean,
you got kicked out for having sex.
Yeah.
Are you happy about being kicked out? Is there like bad feeling, or are you like, I'm glad that happened to get me where I am today?
It's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a lot of trauma involved in it.
Yeah.
Like the way it was handled was just not very good.
Yeah.
And it's given me a lot like to process through my 20s. I'm 29 now. Mm-hmm. And I think since gave my virginity away when I was, that's a nice way of saying it. When I was 21, I think.
Yeah.
And so that whole period of time from then until now mm-hmm. has been like learning to be okay with the idea of sex, because it always felt like sex was a bad thing.
Yeah.
And there were really negative consequences attached to it.
Oh gosh, I can imagine. A lot of like shaming.
Yeah,
and, like,
it was wild,
judgment,
man.
Like, and
so many people knew.
Oh, that's
everyone
so horrible.
Got told. I had to do like an assembly and like,
no.
stand up.
What?
And be like, oh, I'm sorry, everyone.
Wait, you didn't.
And then, yeah, and then
that's
when I got back,
up.
Like I had to have another conversation at church where they were like,
oh,
they didn't even let me go to that one. They were like, Ben's been
God.
Having sex with local girls. I'd had sex with like one person.
That is disgusting.
But it was wild. It was wild. It was an experience.
Oh my God, I can't even believe you must have gone through, because it's such like an impactful age. And like you really care about what other people think, and you really look
massively.
Up to authorities, to people who,
yeah.
Oh man, that is. I'm so sorry you've had to go through that. That's
right.
Horrible.
I had to tell my parents, man. That was so awkward. My mom didn't talk to me for like a month. My mom was like really Christian at the time,
sugar,
and she wasn't happy.
No,
I think not even wasn't happy. I think she was just upset,
because
also it was like it wasn't just that I'd had sex; it was that I was getting kicked out,
and
so there was a lot of like stigma around.
I can't believe
stuff.
That.
Yeah, it was weird. But the actual
That's
sex
intense.
Was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was super emotional, I think, from what I remember. And I don't remember it that clearly, but from what I remember, I think there were like a few tears afterwards.
Yeah.
But like not sad tears, like nice tears.
Interesting.
And it was like really close. Like a lot of fumbling, like a lot of like moving around in the dark and trying to figure out what was going on. And also fear, because we were in a space where we weren't meant to be doing it. And we didn't want to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want anyone to know. We were trying not to do it, and then we ended up doing it. And so it was like, it was just a weird,
that frustration.
Weird bag of...
Oh my God, I can't believe being 21 and like
not being allowed to have sex.
I
could say a lot of things that would probably get me into trouble, but I think that's it's so unfair.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, like sex is just ingrained into part of everybody's soul, no matter what you believe in. And I think to prevent somebody from doing something so natural to us is a mind fuck.
And it was like a part of it was that I had made the commitment to not do it.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, it's a weird one, man.
Yeah,
like there was so much stuff going on around it at the time that was all very confusing. I'd done a lot of other stuff up until that point and just not had penetrative sex.
Yeah.
And then it was also hard to understand like the massive difference between putting your penis inside someone and doing all the other shit.
Yeah, all the
and
other
why
stuff.
That's like why it's so different. Why
it's
anybody cares that much about
it's
you?
Actually,
I mean, is anal still accepted? You can still
I was from. Nah, we didn't do that. No, I think we would have got kicked out for having anal sex.
Yeah,
as well.
Probably. Fuck. That sounds
wait, but then everyone else was doing like all the other stuff.
Listen, people were doing what they wanted to do. People were in their 20s.
How
like,
did you get caught, by the way?
I have to be careful what I say here. So, I'm not a chatty patty.
Yeah.
I don't really talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a person that puts my business out there. But I think we were, at the time, it was quite a stressful situation. So, we'd been having sex and then we went on placement. So, we were in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we were away from everyone we knew. Like, we were in new environments, living with people we didn't know. Like, working in places we'd never been before. And I think it was just a bit much for... The young
other
woman
party.
Yeah so I think she just needed to tell someone and she told the wrong person and then that person's like I have to tell someone else, then they told and then like I got a call from my lecturer the next morning and he was like, hey Ben, how are you? And I was like, we don't need to do this, I know that you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, you're gonna have to come back now, buddy. And I was like, okay. so
that
now I was
voice,
in Newcastle.
Like, hi, buddy. How
yeah,
are you?
I was like, oh, aww. Come on, man. We don't need to do this. But then I came back from Newcastle to Malvern, which is like Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had like a couple of days of conversations. And it was weird as well because they were trying to pin it on me and they were like, you did it. And like,
God.
It was like which is another weird dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think in like faith communities, there's a lot of pressure around men being like the leaders and the heads of whatever's going on and making all the decisions.
Did that affect
decisions.
Your relationship with sex after
yeah.
that?
Yeah, massively.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stop me from having sex, but it made me feel like sex was something I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I'd grown up believing that. Like, I'd grown up thinking, you're not meant to have sex until you're married. Mm-hmm. But I think there was something very weird about doing it and everybody knowing that you're doing it, but also knowing that other people are doing it and nobody else knowing.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of like scapegoating and stuff, and yeah, I don't know. It was a thing.
But it sounds brutal.
Yeah.
So brutal.
But sex is great. So yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was worth it.
I shouldn't really ask more. I wish probably should move
no,
on.
No, go.
Do you still have those beliefs? Do you still think that there shouldn't be sex before marriage?
No, I don't subscribe to any faith or spirituality now. Mm-hmm. I think if I had a kid, I wouldn't be like, you can't do anything at any point. Like, I up until the age of 16, obviously, I'd be like, probably don't do it. It's not a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the information you need to make a good decision about it. Mm-hmm. But after that point, I feel like the conversations that we probably need to have rather than don't have sex are like, what do you want sex to be like? How should it feel? Do you want cuddles afterwards? Do you want to feel safe? Do you want to feel comforted? Do you want to feel loved? Or do you just want to have sex? Is it just like a physical thing? Mm-hmm. Is it an emotional thing?
Yeah, it's never spoken about
We don't talk about
it. We just talk about it as like a really practical thing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really speak about what we need from it or like what we want afterwards.
It's
like
the emotional care.
Yeah.
That's like, that's more important than the physical care.
Oh my God, the amount of times that like people get hurt from just like, I don't know, being fucked and then left.
Yeah.
But that's because people just think that's normal.
Yeah, just not understanding. Oh man.
And you don't negotiate any of that stuff. But I feel like, I don't hold on to that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's good bits of it. Like, I get that it, like, obviously if you're not having sex and you're not getting STIs or there's no risk of pregnancy or whatever, there's like positives. But those things can be worked out in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think not that everybody should have sex, like, do what you want, but mm-hmm. but actually do what you want to do based on good information.
Yeah.
Like, make a decision that is good for you based on where you're at.
And couldn't have said it better. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Fuck 3.
The best fuck.
Best fuck. I think, so actually it's linked to my first fuck. Mm. I think the best time I had sex, and I thought about this a lot because I knew this question was coming, and I was like, am I going to like name one experience, like one sexual experience I had? I think the best sex I ever had, the most transformative experience, was the first time I had sex. So I'd had sex, and then I'd had sex with other people, and I was seeing someone, and we'd been together for probably about a year, and we'd not had sex. We'd done other stuff, but we hadn't been in a space where, like, we were trying to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first time we had sex was that was the first time I had sex and didn't feel bad for having sex.
Yeah, so it's a lot of like emotional. Yeah,
it was like a big thing for me, like to be able to like
release that,
give myself to someone and feel received and feel held and feel like I trusted them, and there wasn't going to be a bad consequence. There wasn't going to be like a, you're going to get in trouble, oh, you have to tell someone, oh, this is going to happen. Like, it was just like, you're in the moment and it's you and that person, you're connecting, and then afterwards it's nice, and you're still within the, like, for me, that safety and the structure of like, we're still in a relationship, like, you're still going to be there afterwards, was that was an amazing experience. And then there's other stuff, like there's like physical stuff which has been dope. Like, I had a full body orgasm, which was like,
whoa,
super weird.
How?
Like, I would like, so I had a finger in my butt, and
yes!
I don't know if I,
it's like, good to be open about that.
Mate,
I know we don't talk about this kind of stuff.
Oh,
I was
so
having a conversation with my friends, and I was like, have you had a finger in your butt? And they were like, no. And I was like,
people
guys,
get weird,
man,
about it, but yeah, not just try. Men, but women too get weird about it.
You gotta try, bro.
I mean, we've got so many erogenous zones, like nipples. If I want a finger in my mouth, or like my nipples being played with, or a finger in my bum and vagina, like, why can't men?
Yeah.
Like, it should be equal, and it should be exactly the same.
Why not?
And
why?
That's maybe even more so because men have a prostate which can be massaged, and that's like a totally different orgasmic thing. That's like,
mate,
why do we ignore that?
We ignore it. Mate, it's actually crazy.
I'm telling you, it's a different thing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Guys, if there are any guys listening, I'm telling you now, it's a different thing. Try it one time, just see. Trust me, it's mad. It's mad.
I think you need to do it with someone who is willing to learn and to be open and also
and
not
doesn't
to
have
like
nails.
Yeah, doesn't have nails or like
short nails.
You know, they maybe they're experienced and they know what they're doing, because it is a sensitive area.
Yes,
not just physically but emotionally.
Would I ever put a toy in my bum? I don't think so. I feel like a finger is more than enough.
I actually think fingers are better because you can massage the area way more easy than a toy.
Toys are flying blind a little bit. I don't really trust them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if it's
uncomfortable,
if it malfunctions, starts vibrating out of control or something.
It's going to explode like those phones.
Yeah, it's wild. Do you know what I mean? Samsung. Nah, forget that.
Samsung?
Samsung phones. There was like
one
of the new
people's pockets
and shit. Imagine that in your bum.
Oh, my days.
Wow.
No.
They're not.
From me.
No, but now we're going to like medical emergencies of like people getting stuff stuck up their ass.
Yeah.
Or vaginas.
So you had a full body orgasm.
Yeah. I'm not a finger in the butt person. Finger in the booty ass. No. I'm not a finger in the butt person every time. It's not like a standard thing, but I feel like if you trust someone and you're comfortable, and mate, like I was shaking, I was going nuts.
Really?
I didn't know what was happening.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. We negotiated.
Oh, perfect.
So you knew you wanted it, or did they suggest it?
Nah, it was like
kind of just
things
happened.
Got into that realm, and then we were like, and also like I would happily put my finger in someone's butt. So I felt a little bit like, is it fair that I'm doing this and I don't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Or like, because then how do you know that it's enjoyable or it feels good or like you're doing the right thing?
That's
or whatever.
True, yeah.
Like, if you can know, I feel like you should,
You both got to try it. It's like
that's actually such a good idea, though. Like, you shouldn't really do things to other people if you're not going to, like,
if you're not prepared to do it.
It's like when guys will never taste their own cum.
Yeah.
I'm and like, it's like, fuck, I taste myself all the time.
How can you expect me to swallow you if you don't even know what you taste like?
Yeah, it's a very good
point. And guys expect girls to taste their own cum.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's sexy. Lick it. Like, just weird.
I'm not a big fan of my own flavour.
Yeah.
It's like a packet of crisps.
I like what I taste like. Like, I don't think I really have much of a taste.
Yeah. I must, like, we all change. Tastes change. The same with, like, male cum.
Tastes change.
Yeah. It
will change.
Apparently, vegans taste better.
Well, I don't know.
Or is this from experience?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't want any meat eaters to feel bad about the taste of their vagina or their bodily fluids.
I just think it's like to do with bad diet.
People
like,
taste, yeah, maybe.
Had some like acid tasting.
Oh, really?
That's only because they had such a bad diet.
Oh no!
Like, we're talking acid in your mouth. Like, it wasn't just the taste; it was like the texture and the burn. It's so bad.
The burn. The hell.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. No shame on that person.
No shame. But yeah, hope you sort out your diet, mate. Yeah.
You really do need to, like, because also I think coffee and meat are really bad.
These are alleged though. Like, we still need to do like the science behind it and like need the real research.
Good, right?
Yeah, but is that real? Is that like a rumor? Pretty sure the same person I was talking about drank lots of pineapple juice.
Yeah.
I think if you eat sweet things, then maybe you'd end up tasting sweeter.
Yeah. I wonder if there's actual science out there.
I don't know. Like, the thing that I wonder, is like, I know that from when I was younger, there was this false narrative of like, you taste like X thing.
Yeah.
But vaginas just taste like vaginas. More often than not, like, they just taste like a fanny. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, they
don't taste like, they don't taste like strawberries or chocolate or honey or whatever. And I think once I understood like that, then I was like, it's cool now.
Oh, yeah. I saw, like, you know, on Tumblr where it's like, you taste like Coca-Cola. And I was like, Coca-Cola. Yeah, cool.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be delicious.
But I'd just rather it taste like body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tastes like body.
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 Mm, like intense body.
Okay.
Why not?
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting for creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too, and creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
Fuck number 4.
The worst fuck.
Worst time.
Oh no.
There's been a few.
It's been a few. Oh no.
No. You know,
it was a sigh. I was like, shit.
Worst time.
It's gonna go down.
So the worst time I had sex. Do you know what it was? So there was one of my friends here, when we were younger, he always used to talk about being able to last for a really long time.
Yeah.
And he would be like, yeah, I do rounds, like, and we go for like 4 hours, 5 hours.
Was like, tantric shit.
And when I was growing up, I was like, that must be lit. Like, yeah, that must be so good. Imagine fucking someone for 3 fucking hours. And then I fucked someone for 3 hours and it was not an enjoyable experience.
No,
like, it's just rough, man. It's just like,
just like straight penetration for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my god.
It was it, and like there were bits in between, but it was just like not that comfortable. Like, it wasn't. And I think it was harder as well, because once you get past a certain point, you start to worry.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they're not coming, I'm not coming. Yeah. Like, is this still good? And I think that person at that time, like, the communication wasn't great. So we weren't in a space where we could be like, no, do this or change that or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit like, just pumping.
Yeah.
Just pumping.
I imagine,
and I
the
was
friction
tired.
Burn as well.
It was, yeah, it wasn't.
Did it get
wasn't,
dry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't that great.
If you thought you were in pain, she must have been in pain.
Yeah, she must have been very uncomfortable.
Oh.
And I think like, I'm a big like sex debrief person. So yeah. I like after sex, like, I like
so
to,
important.
Like, yeah, I love talking about it. Like, because I feel like you learn and you figure stuff out, and then next time can be better.
Yeah, you can make it better.
But she wasn't a sex debrief person. She didn't want to chat
about it.
Like,
no.
She didn't really like talking about sex unless you were actually having sex.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
which
so
I
interesting.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't. That
so
wasn't
dirty
great.
Dirty talk, but like not.
Not even really dirty talk. Just like, yeah.
Maybe she just had a bad relationship with sex.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
3 hours though, like, I think that's only acceptable if you're both enjoying it.
If you're
it's
both
like,
really,
I've heard
into
about that
it.
In tantra, but penetration for that long.
Yeah,
is hard.
I never think it's when people say that they've been fucking for like a really long time. I don't think it's ever penetration the whole time.
Yeah, it can't be. Like, no.
Well, I hope not, because it's not that great.
No,
yeah, don't.
And then you get numb as well, and it's really hard to orgasm. Yeah, and yeah, you get stuck inside your own mind.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that for 3 hours. I think it would just get boring. Did it get boring?
Yeah, at points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's times when your mind drifts and you're like, because 3 hours,
what
man,
am I
like
doing?
Thinking of like series and stuff, playing like what's going to happen in the next episode. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of shit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm in a different place sometimes.
The equivalent.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I think I'm
God.
Pretty ADHD anyway. So I have like a very like scatty brain.
Yeah, short
scatty
attention
mind.
Span.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this and this. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, there are some people that I've had sex with where it's, like, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can be having sex and just chat shit. Or, like,
there'll
be music on and you'll be like, oh, that's a tune. And, like, talk about whatever.
That's the
while
best.
You're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That comfortable session. It's, like, not even just, like, a fuck. It's a session where you're just, like, in and out.
It's like
and, like,
chilling.
Rolling around.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
chilling with Jehovah.
But while fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dope.
That's amazing.
But that wasn't great. And then there have been times when there's been, like, injuries or like
injuries. Yeah. Not like dick injuries.
No, I'm talking about vagina injuries.
Oh.
Yeah. So that I didn't know that this could happen, but like if you're like, or for me anyway, it'd been like it was a bit too hard, and then you know when it like slips out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it cut, and it was like there was a significant
like,
amount of
wait,
blood.
Wait.
Tore.
The vagina.
Which bit?
Like, I don't know what it's called. The inside. I'm like,
yeah.
The inside bit. But
the bit
not
in
like,
between the ass and the gooch.
No, like actually inside your vagina.
Yeah,
oh.
Just like tore
just,
it.
Yeah.
Like in like fucked up angles. And if it's dry, then it's just so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah.
Ow.
Which wasn't like that wasn't bad sex, but then that was a bad moment, and then sex was done.
Yeah.
So it was like,
oh my god, there are so many things that can go wrong during sex. Like when you're going really fast and it's like too slippy and the penis like accidentally punctures you in the arsehole.
Oh my god.
What punctures you in the arsehole?
Like instead of the vagina.
Oh my god.
It goes in your bum.
Oh my god. And
goes
you
in your bum by accident.
Yeah. It's
not prepared.
I can't tell. It's the most excruciating pain.
Oh no.
And you're completely out of the moment. You're like literally like having to roll over and like.
Yeah. You're dying inside. It's like, it's an indescribable.
Oh,
I guess it's like.
Bad.
It's like being probably like being kicked in the balls. It's like that whole full body, like you feel like you're gonna be sick, the constant cramping.
Uh-huh.
It gets worse as well. It just it builds.
It just gets worse
and
as
also
time goes.
If the penis is sizable, then the pain will be
sizable.
There for like
a while afterwards.
It's like
maybe even a day.
It's like, imagine your bumhole is this tight muscle that all it's trained to do is hold your poo in. You know, like that's it. And then all of a sudden, if you've got no prep, if it's not prepared to like mentally and physically prepared to have like to be stretched open, that's like someone just like ripping you open at top speed.
Top speed. That's not the wave.
But it happens. It's very normal. I feel like everyone's got to go through it once to experience what it's like.
I really hope that no one has to experience it, but it just will happen.
It will happen. But it's no biggie. It's just you just got to put some coconut oil on that bummer.
Accident.
It can also happen when you do go slowly. Like I've tried to have anal slowly and same pain. Like my bum hole was just not happening. Yeah. It was just like no.
I don't think anal is widely as enjoyable as people think it is. I think it is enjoyable for some people.
Maybe it's enjoyable because of the pain, what it is.
I mean,
that's what I like.
I think a lot of it is like mental pleasure. If you're interested in anal and you want your bum being played with, you're naturally going to loosen up and be quite relaxed about it anyway, and then therefore enjoy the experience. It's exactly the same with like vaginismus.
Yes.
And like
vaginismus.
Vaginismus is a condition where the walls of somebody's vagina tightens up so much that penetration becomes extremely painful or can't happen at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's a mental blockage. So it's like maybe they've experienced trauma or they've just not had a good experience with sex, and then your vagina's just like, nope, don't want anything. Like even if it's your own fingers or somebody else's, they bring it up in sex education. I was loving
they
that.
Do.
Which
very
episode?
End.
I haven't seen the end.
Okay, all right. Okay. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah, thanks.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
Uh-huh. I think in part it was that first time that I spoke about when like I had sex and I felt like it was okay to have sex.
Yeah.
And I think also when I figured out oral sex was like a big game changer for me, because then sex was like, there was, I feel like up until that point it was a little bit like sex is something you do to another person and like you do it and then it's done.
Instead of with.
Yeah. And then when there was, and I think like really fortunately, like there were a couple of people who like would talk me through stuff and would like be in a really nice way, not like do fucking better, but just like, oh yeah, like maybe if you do this or try this or whatever.
Yeah. How did you learn how to give good oral sex?
Through doing it, I think. And then also, so there was, it was like maybe four different steps and then a bunch of stuff came together and I was like, I've got it. I understand this now to an extent, because obviously everybody's different. It doesn't always work the same way.
You have a format.
Yeah.
And then the format changes.
I have a standard. I have a standard approach. Uh-huh. And there's like there's varying techniques that you use and you try until something works.
Yeah.
And then if nothing works, it's time for some dick. But you've got to switch up. You've got to take a different approach. But I think there was a... First, it was probably like actually just having oral sex, like just giving oral sex. Mm-hmm. And then there was somebody sent me a website called OMGS, which like talks you through oral. And like my friends, when my friends get married, I always send it to them, like my Christian friends. So usually they haven't had sex yet.
Yeah. Well, that's so lovely.
Like, I'm always
of you.
Like, here you go. Like it's like £50 or something, but you get a lifetime membership. Yeah. I'm like, here you go, have this and figure it out.
So actually like making an effort to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very like important. It is an educational thing, like definitely. I think teaching sex ed helped a lot.
Yeah.
Because you figure out like what a vagina is and how it works rather than just it's a hole.
Yes.
And like where the pleasure points are and like what feels nice. And then it's just a lot of trial and error and like a lot of like, oh, I like it when you do that with your tongue, I don't like it when you do that. I like it when you do this, I don't like it when you do that. And then you figure it out. And then there are some people who like have like specific points that just set them off, and that's really fun.
Yeah,
like, that's a really nice experience, because then you feel like a god. Do you know what I mean? Like you feel like you're in the master of the universe. Like I literally feel like He-Man in those moments. I'm like,
He-Man.
I actually control everything. Like I am Bruce Almighty.
Yeah,
like, this is mad. But
I mean,
that's
when the
not...
oral sex is that good,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you're pleasuring somebody and giving them all that pleasure, and it's like, you have that control. And you basically own
you
them.
Do
you own their body
for
in
them.
That time.
Yeah. For that moment.
Yeah, for that moment.
You're like,
you can't
do anything now.
Yeah, you're just fucked.
Yeah, you're absolutely
Stop
fucked.
Stop it.
In this
it's
moment.
Taking me.
That's great. That's great. But yeah, I think when I figured that out, sex became a lot better.
Yeah.
And it became a lot more, like, it wasn't, because I think pleasure, another person's pleasure has always been a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. But for a long time, it was just like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, I didn't know how to pleasure another person in that way. Mm. And a lot of it is like relying on somebody being able to communicate with you as well. Yes. And some people aren't great at, like, I'm not great at communication. Some people just aren't great at like telling other people what they want.
Yeah.
Or they don't know what they want. They don't know what feels nice or what feels good. But
you have to learn to communicate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
We really always forget it's all skills. Like,
yeah.
Like communication is learning a skill. Yeah. Good oral is learning a skill.
Yeah. But it's, same it's with learning to like voice your opinion during, because we've never really been taught to do that.
Yeah.
And we've always just sort of been taught to sort of take it how it is.
Yeah, take it or like, give it how it is.
rather than
give it how it comes.
Ask for it to change or kind of let them know like what's good or what's bad. Or,
yeah.
But that's why the debrief is so important,
right?
So you can really like, because even if you're not necessarily great at communicating during, because you don't like talking during sex, talking afterwards is super important.
It's a major key. Yeah.
Because
then so you can be like, I fucking hated it when you did that. Never do that to me again. But like, that's so important. Do you know how much stuff people do and absolutely hate?
Yeah.
And they just do it because they think that that's what it's meant to be like.
Yeah.
That is so distressing. Like, that thought to me is like, I think that's like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, to have sex with someone and for them to be like, after sex, to be like, I really didn't like that thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather you just be like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Or, oh, no, because stop doing that or whatever. But yeah.
And it's hard to find that voice though in the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I've gotten like way better at recently, rather than just sort of like, not saying anything at all. Because it's like a deer in the headlights situation where you're just like,
it's really hard.
I don't know. I don't want to disappoint them.
I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
I don't want to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to make this awkward or stop having sex or stop doing what we're doing because I'm saying, oh, I don't like this.
Exactly.
I also imagine this very different as a woman. Like, as a guy, I don't feel like there's any real consequence for like upsetting someone during sex by saying I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But like, I can just go or like do whatever. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm rarely having sex with people who I feel like are gonna like punch me or like like can physically dominate me in that way.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's a very different experience. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it can be. I think that's the unfortunate thing, is that men generally are and generally can seem more dominating than women, and so women do tend to feel more vulnerable.
Yeah,
this is like why we got to change things, because like, it shouldn't be like that. It should be okay to talk about in sex and not to feel feared that the other person's going to get angry or annoyed, or like the whole sex situation's going to get ruined because of poor fucking sex education.
If you could give our listeners one like top tip that's not communication, what would it be?
One top tip that's not communication
for oral sex.
Oh, switched it now.
He's like, I don't want to give out my secret.
I say do the research, you dickheads. Figure it out yourself.
But give someone an actual tip.
I would say learn to suck a boob. That helps. If you're having sex with a woman, learn to suck a boob.
So important.
Like, actually suck a boob. Like, don't just like lick a nipple. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's more. There's more to sucking breasts than that.
Oh yeah.
And I would say, how so?
I
feel like you gotta just get the whole thing in your mouth and like really go to town. Like, actually like approach it as if you are not eating with your teeth, but eating something. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually enjoy it.
That sounds good, man.
And then I would say, you said not communication. I don't think there are any like formulas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to give a tip that's not communicate. But I think,
what do you do with your tongue?
No, I'm not telling you that.
Oh,
I'm not telling you that. No way.
Why?
No way. Because that's me. That's all me, baby. No one else can know that. Selfish. No, I don't. I don't even know what I do with my tongue.
Why do you not want to better everyone else's sex?
Well, find
the
clit, like find the clit and lick it. Do you know what I mean? Like, find that's
There's
that
so
is a good tip.
More to it than that.
Find the fucking clit. If someone did that to me, I'd be like,
and
more.
I think vary what you're doing with your tongue. So try different shapes with your tongue. Try different pressures. I know this stuff sounds basic, but then I also know that loads of guys don't do this stuff.
Yeah, true.
And they just lick in the same way for an extended period of time, and that's not very pleasurable.
Oh God, no.
I think also suck, like don't just like don't just lap it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try different things. I would say just be experimental,
And
figure figure stuff out and also watch for reactions. I think that's a major thing.
Definitely.
Is like, don't assume what you're doing is good if someone's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask
if
it's good. And if it's not, don't be upset when they say it's not. Just switch it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
For fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, hey guys, so I've been with my boyfriend for 2+ years, and at the beginning we had great sex, but now he is suffering with some insecurities and we have not done it for about 5 months. We've talked about it and nothing seems to be working. I've always loved masturbating and do it regularly so that I don't go insane, but lately I find myself sobbing afterwards. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh, do you know if this is from a male or female, or do we talk about it genderless?
It's from a female.
Mm-hmm.
Papa.
But I feel like her in, like, I feel like she would be crying afterwards because she's now associating her masturbating with her not getting sex in her relationship.
Yeah.
It's right? Very, yeah, I mean, we've both definitely dealt with situations where we have been in long relationships and the sex has fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that you're doing wrong and it's nothing that they're doing wrong. It just ends up, you end up causing and creating this kind of like weird sexual barrier where it becomes awkward, and the longer you put it off, often or not, the worse it gets, unless you change it up and do something about it.
And masturbating gets super frustrating when you're not having sex, because you're just want to have sex so badly.
This isn't what I want to do.
Only way you can satisfy yourself, but it's never satisfying in the end, because you're just like, this isn't even what I want.
It's so sad masturbating when your partner's like asleep next to you. That's like, you know, some really dark moments where you're trying not to wake them up because they got to get up early for work. And you're just like lying there like, well, I should be having sex. But then on the flip reverse of it, we can't put that pressure on our partners, because, you know, if they tried it on with us, it's very possible we wouldn't have wanted to have sex in that moment. And we might have just wanted to masturbate. It's all a bit of a minefield.
What's interesting about what she said is that her partner's been going through some insecurities and that's what's led them to not be having sex.
Mm. Yeah, I just wonder, like, I don't know. Like, I know that there's a lot of things that you can be insecure about as a guy in regards to sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, without delving into, like, I don't want to like psychoanalyze this dude that I don't know, but I think there's probably something around learning to enjoy someone without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like the moment when you get insecure is when, like, you feel like you're meant to be something and you're not that thing.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm meant to perform in this way, or this is meant to be the outcome, or something's meant to happen, or something. And then that's no longer enjoyable. And I get why in that space you wouldn't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's just long, like, it's just stress, as opposed to like just enjoying physicality with another person. So even if it's not necessarily like penetrative sex or like the kind of sex that you want to have, like, maybe just be intimate, maybe just practice getting into the routine of like being intimate again.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So it's not just sex, it's about the intimacy instead.
Yeah. And then I don't know, like, I guess it's different if it's like insecurity about your body.
Do guys have insecurities about their body?
Oh yeah, like,
it's
massively.
Just the same as women,
body image for guys is a massive thing that we just don't speak about.
Exactly.
Like, at the point that we're in time, like, men in media are sexualized to an extent, not to the same extent as women, but to an extent where, like, it's very real.
Yeah.
And there is an ideal. Yeah, there's an ideal
body
type.
Oh my God.
Everyone's like damaging. Super, super buff, muscly. Yeah.
And then when someone's not, you're like, why are you there?
Yeah,
which is like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I actually had that thought for Casa Amor. And one of the guys that came in, I was just like,
right,
he's not, what, he's, why is he here?
And they were like, he's got the chat. He's got the chat. And I was like, yeah, but he doesn't have the abs. So,
but
that's so bad.
It fucks us up. It fucks us up. We're like trained to think that a real man is someone who goes to the gym, thinks about, he's like really fit, he's like muscly, big. And it's just absolute bullshit. Like, why do we even think this way?
Yeah.
It's so unfair to anyone, to everyone, to all men, to all women.
It's tough, man. It's so tough. But I think you can. Do the nude a day. Do a nude a day.
Yeah.
Take a nude a day. If that's the thing.
30-day new challenge.
If the thing is that you are uncomfortable with yourself sexually, or like, sometimes people don't feel sexy, or you don't like looking at yourself, or you don't like what your body feels like, or whatever it might be, just get used to your body. Like, just take some time and try and practice. And I think a lot of this stuff is practice. Like, it is like routine and like setting stuff in place and doing stuff repeatedly until something shifts. But it's that's tough because there's also another person involved. Do you know what I mean? It's not just one person by themselves who's insecure and processing it. There's also another person who suffers because of that, or is in a undesirable situation because of that thing, which is another thing that's stressful, I guess, in that situation. So,
well, she's got it in her head now that like she associates masturbation with feeling like probably like not enough for her partner and not like worthy of sex with him. So, which to an extent where she's crying after masturbating, that's gonna take a time to work through that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're working together on this. It sounds like a lot of it's separate. They're not talking about it. And I know that talking about it can put pressure on the situation, but as a female talking, like, I feel you. I feel it, I mean, I put on pressure on my partner all the time for sex, and I've learned through couples counselling that it's the last thing that I should be doing. That pushes people further away, because if you put pressure on it, it puts like this almost like a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's the more pressure that's on it, the more is up to like lose, and he, you know, like your partner doesn't even want to try because he's worried he's going to fail. So the best thing, I mean, the best advice I was given was like, okay, you're not going to have sex for a week. Like, don't have sex for a week, and tell each other and be like, okay, we're not going to have sex for a week. This is off the tables, which you'd think doing the opposite thing would fuck you up. But we ended up doing so much more and being excited and getting to a point where we wanted to have sex. It was like, we can't have sex. Yeah. And that just took the pressure off. And my partner was a completely different person.
Yeah.
It was actually really interesting to see. And just from that, now I don't pressure him. Sometimes, obviously, I feel insecure and I'm like, like our sex life, blah blah blah, like why don't you have sex with me, this and the other, and then I have to reclaim that back and be like, I'm sorry I spoke to you like that. This is just coming from a place of like pure emotion, anger. It's and also microaggressions fuck people up. If he's tried having sex with you, or if you've tried and they're like, oh sorry, like not tonight,
rejections,
or, micro, did I say aggressions?
Yeah, you did.
I meant micro rejections.
Oh, I was like, oppression. Diversity and inclusion. Good.
No, micro rejections that can fuck you up and set you up and like basically, make you more terrified to try.
Yeah.
And that's like the worst part.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me in my relationship.
Yeah.
I got so many rejections in the end that I kind of gave up, which is so sad.
Don't give up. That's the advice.
Never give up.
If you've got something worth saving, don't give up.
Yeah. Communicate as well.
Yeah. Actually have a chat about you.
Yeah, and communicate about his insecurities as well.
Yeah.
Because if he's feeling insecure, you probably don't, like, I don't know, if say if he's feeling insecure about his body, you could probably make him feel better about that. Because you probably don't feel the same way he does.
I would really recommend listening to the podcast Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. She's a psychosexual therapist who talks to couples, and it's their first time. She does a session with a couple, and it's so... like, you just learn so much just from listening to what advice she gives to another couple. And she has couples in that from all sexualities and genders and identities. And I learned so much just by listening to two episodes. So especially when it comes to insecurities and reasons why people aren't having sex, like, therapy is just amazing. It just it enlightens you.
If you can afford to go to couples therapy, then I'd highly suggest
it's a good investment. That's an investment.
Exactly. It's an investment. And you can find cheaper therapies.
Yeah.
Like, I know that Relate in the UK is like the biggest one. And
Relate
goes on your salary.
Means tested,
That goes by like how much you earn and your salary. I didn't have a great experience there, but that was down to the therapist specifically. She didn't really understand modern relationships and like polyamory or open non-monogamy, and I think they're quite traditional. We're seeing an amazing sexual therapist at the moment. She's like incredible, and she's open to non-monogamy, and she understands our relationship. So she's amazing.
Therapy can be a game changer.
It should be for everything. Everyone should have mandatory therapy at school.
And you know what it is also, because sometimes there are things that you don't realize are related to the issue. So you might be thinking, oh, I've got insecurities in the bedroom, but actually your insecurities might be about your job or finance, or like, do you know what I mean? It might be linked to something very, very different. Yeah. That's also easily resolvable.
Yeah.
So if you can get into that space of like having dedicated space to like process and take time to think through this stuff, that's really good. If you can't, like, also just chat to your friends, like, talk to people around you, find some people who know how to talk about stuff and chat to them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Fucking hell. This week's sex story is, I was 17 on a college trip to New York and I was hella bored one night and wanted to go do something cheeky. I downloaded Tinder and arranged to meet some guy. I told him to pick me up at 11, but I had to go down the emergency exit to avoid sneaking past the teachers. I got in his car and drove 20 minutes away to Queens. We had pretty great sex, went 3 times round. However, I didn't want to stay, so I got him to drive me back to Times Square at 3 a.m. I snuck back in and got away with it. The fact that I could have been kicked off my course and my teachers sacked for lack of safeguarding was really exciting. The whole experience was exhilarating and still turns me on to this day.
Fuck, man, that is some danger sex.
That is so dangerous.
Risky.
That's really
that
scary.
So that's dangerous. Risky on so many levels. Like, yeah. One, your age and not being able, like, you're supposed to be 18 on Tinder. Actually, might you be different over in the US? No. Maybe it's 21.
Yeah, maybe it's older.
Oh, it might be.
It is.
Yeah. It's definitely 18 here.
Yeah. Definitely 18 here. And
You're in a different... Is she American?
No.
Wait, she said she went
on a school trip to New York.
Wow. Oh. So you're not even in your own area. No. You're not safe. You don't
this
know what's around.
So much, that is so dangerous.
Times Square at 3 a.m. There's so many issues here. Yeah. Okay,
like,
this is good.
Calm down. Paranoid parents Sorry. Right now. Just like, you okay though? You okay, hon?
Yeah.
You okay?
I know that this is a really sexy, like, memory, but it was pretty foolish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't shame her for having a really great experience, because we can have really random, unsafe, great experiences. We're not fucking angels ourselves.
Oh no, I've definitely done something probably just as stupid.
Just as stupid. But these are the things that we need to do. Like, we do need to be careful. It sounds like she kind of knew what she was doing. The fact that she was confident doing it gave her more capabilities of looking after herself rather than being like, oh, I shouldn't do this. Like, this is really wrong.
I mean, getting in a stranger's car anywhere. I mean, I can't actually talk because I definitely did this whilst I was in LA as well, not in my own town.
Oh, Florence. Oh, you haven't written the story?
This was the creepy.
Was this you?
This was the creepy guy. No.
The creepy guy.
No, you know the one that I told you that had the really, really, really unclean flat.
Oh my God, that was disgusting.
Like, actually disgusting.
Nasty.
That story's on our YouTube channel if you want to go and hear the whole thing.
Yeah, it's on our worst stories,
worst,
was it?
Yeah, worst or weirdest sexual experiences.
Yeah, go listen
one
to
one of those.
Go listen.
Jesus Christ, that was mad. But that was so unsafe.
As
women, we do have to look after ourselves, like, a little bit more.
And
I guess it means that we might like not have those exciting sexual experiences. Although, you know what, I don't regret doing that.
I was gonna say, is this scaremongering though?
I don't regret doing that.
Are we terrifying women to not be their own person and to not do things that men would be allowed to do just because of what we see in the media? Like, we forget that our planet right now.
What are you going to say?
No, go on. I was going to say, I don't know if it's because of things we see in the media, right? Like, there's one story here and one story here. Mm-hmm. Both of them ended well. Both of them were unsafe.
Yeah.
So, I think they are unsafe because men do, not just men, people do wild shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always end up good. And I think there is an element of, like, scaremongering and, like, oh, you shouldn't do this and oh, blah, 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 blah. But also, like, there's a very real
threat.
Concern for, like, people's safety. Like,
yeah.
That is wild. Yeah, that's so scary. That is, I'd actually be too scared to do it. And I'm not saying, like, never do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just if you're going to do stuff and people do off-key things. Not off-key, it's not off-key. People do wild things sometimes.
Wild.
Be safe when you're doing it. Like, share your location with your
friends.
Yeah,
share your location.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let someone know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's your flatmate, like, give them a time that you're going to be back, mm-hmm. or your roommate while you're away. Like, say, if I'm not back by this time, check my location, send someone to the location, do whatever.
Yeah.
But just, like, actually safeguard yourself.
Yeah.
Like, safe is anything ever, really? But, like, safeguard yourself as best you can.
That's what people do these days as well. Like, I've had a couple of situations recently where me and my friends have, like, shared our location because we know that we're going back to a guy's house that we don't know
that's well. It's so
smart. We've met them before, but like, also we're just like, here's my location pin, check in on me at some point.
I do that with I send that to Thomas anyway, like, with especially with photo shoots when you're yes. with a photographer you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a professional environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, even then. And you should be doing that. I mean,
so you can go and do the wild things. You just need to give someone your location.
Yeah, you just got to be smart.
Obviously, if they don't hear back from you and you like die, but
yeah,
that could happen also.
I mean,
you like die.
Like what? Yeah, could you imagine if it was like other way around? Where did she tell anyone that she was leaving? What if she never came back? Would they?
Well, she obviously snuck out the emergency exit, so nobody would have seen that she had gone.
Well, it might be in her friends that she was on the trip
Hopefully
with.
She
I'm
told
imagining
her friends.
This, like, do you know the podcast Serial? Just like
one
of those
exactly.
investigative, and she's like,
criminal.
But no one Ad saw Manson her leave.
Yeah.
Like, this is a murder mystery, and we never know who the murderer was.
Sake. We're terrifying people right now. But then also, be safe.
Yeah, just look after yourself. Look after yourself.
Share your location.
Be smart.
Yeah. I'm glad that you have a nice memory. I'm glad that you have a nice memory. That is good. We should also celebrate that.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was a fucked up story, we should celebrate that there was a good story about, like, a sexual encounter that is still, like, hot to this day.
Yes.
Next time, just be very careful.
Well, unfortunately, it's time for us to fuck off. Thank you so much, Ben, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're sorry to make you fuck off now, but like, it's been an absolute pleasure.
So long.
Thanks. Farewell. Have we this and good night. Okay. Yeah. So where can our curious fuckers find you, Ben?
Oh, you can find me on all social media at The Real Ben Hurst. Also, check out the Good Lad Initiative on social media at GL Initiative or at Good Lad Initiative.
Nice. And everyone should check out your TED Talk that you did because it's actually amazing.
Oh, you should. You might enjoy it. Let me know what you think. If
Just
you actually listen to it, let me know.
Ben Hurst on YouTube. Comes up. TED
Google
talk.
Me, bro.
Google.
Like, don't
famous
look
now.
Don't look Google at Google Images, please.
No, no, no.
Don't look at Google Images.
Yeah, as in like all my nudes.
All my
We're talking about Ben here, not you.
Yeah,
Reed.
No, I was joking about him.
Talking about Ben here.
Yeah, I was joking about him, as in with like the nude
and yeah, the
nudes. Oh, yeah, because you post those on Google.
In the ether.
Yeah, man.
They exist.
I've already stolen them. They're already up on Google.
Oh,
check yourself.
Reed.
He's actually grabbing his phone.
It's like double checking the Google. So everyone, remember to rate, subscribe to our podcast, leave us a lovely review.
Yes, please share. And if you fancy following us on Instagram on our personal ones, I'm Reed Amber X and Florence's Florence Bark.
And follow Come Curious.
Oh yeah, O-M-E. Yeah, do that as well. But if you're not already, then you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, you should definitely follow.
Yeah,
us
you should definitely know that at this point.
Yeah, we should do that at the beginning. It's be like, before you do anything, go and follow our Instagram.
We really should actually.
Yeah, let's do that next.
Yeah, we'll
episode.
Do that next time. But anyway, if you want to send us in a sex question or a sex story, please email us at fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com.
Amazing.
And
thank you, guys.
You'll hear us next week.
We're going to be hitting nearly a million listens. A million listens, guys. We're getting
Get
there.
Your money, man.
So please share us and, you know, push us up. That million mark would love you forever.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, curious fuckers.
Oh!
Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's an episode we recommend.
Hi, I'm theme park journalist Carly Wiesel, and my job is to bring you the weirdest, wackiest theme park stories on my podcast, Very Amusing. Hear how Disney built a Star Wars-themed land from the people who built it, the wild way Butterbeer was first created, and this week, get a secret look at what happens inside Disneyland's members-only Club 33, and its extremely private-themed bar. Very Amusing is jam-packed with exclusive details about Star Wars, Marvel, and Jurassic World attractions, hilarious celebrity interviews, and, well, everything you've ever wanted to know about theme parks but haven't found anywhere else. Want to go on a wild ride that won't cost you hundreds in admission tickets? Listen to Very Amusing with Carly Wiesel on the Acast app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.